Let's just seek God's face, please, in a word of opening prayer. Eternal God and our Father, we come to Thee this evening. And Lord, we thank Thee for another opportunity to come and to draw near to Thee. We ask, O God, that this night You be pleased to come, be one of our number. May we feel Thy presence, Lord, may we hear Thy voice. And Lord, we pray that this night a work will be done in every heart that lasts for time and for all eternity. Bless us, we pray, be with us tonight. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. We're going to join together singing of our opening hymn. It's the hymn number 54. If you have a copy of our church hymn book, if not, the words will be on the screen in front of you. Great God of wonders, all Thy ways are worthy of Thyself divine, but the fair glories of Thy grace beyond Thine other wonders shine. We'll stand together after we get the introduction and sing this opening hymn, please. Well, let's unite our hearts together, please, again, in another word of prayer. And let's all seek God's face for His presence and for His help tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight that we come before a pardoning God. We come, Lord, to one who is merciful, one who is ready to forgive us of our sins and our faults and our failures. We thank Thee, O God, tonight for mercy that was seen there at the place called Calvary. When the Lord Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Savior, gave His life, we thank the Lord for the One who loved us and there gave Himself for us. Lord, how we rejoice this evening in Thy great mercy toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. O God, we stand in awe and amazement and wonder tonight that you should ever love us. Yet, O God, we thank thee tonight that we're loved with an everlasting love. We praise thee, O God, tonight that thy love is matchless. There is nothing to compare to the love of God toward a fallen race of humanity. And, O God, we thank thee tonight that there is still mercy. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that there is still pardon. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for each one in this meeting who's saved. We rejoice, O God, for that time and our life's experience. Lord, when you opened our eyes, when we saw how lost we were and how that we were under the wrath and the condemnation of God, yet, O God, we thank thee tonight that we saw that there was mercy. Mercy in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Mercy in the finished work of Christ there on the cross. And Lord, we thank thee tonight that there is still mercy for the sinner who will leave their sin and come to Christ. O God, we pray that tonight you'd be pleased to come by thy Holy Spirit, take a dealing with all of our hearts. Lord, work in this place tonight, we pray. May we, Lord, be very conscious that God is here. Lord, may we not even be conscious of those around us. But may the Spirit of God so take a dealing with us. And Lord, that this night we might leave this place knowing that God has been here. Lord, we've prayed you'll take our thanks for your mercy, your goodness that finds us here. We thank the Lord for health and strength that finds us in the house of God tonight. And our Father, we pray that tonight you'll come. And Lord, aid us in our worship. Bless all that will take place tonight. Pray, Lord, for Brother David as he'd come. Minister to us in song. Encourage him. Use him, Lord, mightily tonight, we pray. And may he know great help, even, Lord, as he would sing of his Savior this evening. Bless us around the word. We thank thee for the gospel. Lord, we thank thee tonight that in a world filled with so much despair, Lord, we thank thee tonight that there's hope. Hope not found in a church. Hope not found in any man. Hope found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that tonight sinners may leave their sin and find in Christ their all in all. O Heavenly Father, have thine own way tonight. Bless across this city. We ask, O God, that you'll remember, Lord, all those who are faithful to thee, preaching the gospel of Christ. Encourage them. Bless across our land and across our nation tonight, we pray. Remember, Lord, those who cannot gather with us this evening. We pray, Lord, for those who are unwell in their own homes. Touch them, strengthen them. Remember, Lord, those who are cast down with heavy cares. We ask, O God, you'll draw near to them. And, Lord, may they know the touch of the Master's hand upon them. Remember those who are sorrowing, mourning tonight. We ask, O God, you'll draw near to them. Remember Irene this evening. We pray, Lord, you'll comfort her heart and draw very near to her and Roberta and all the family. And Lord, may they know grace sufficient in the days that lie ahead. And Lord, for those who still continue to feel the loss of loved ones, Lord, we pray that tonight thy perfect peace will be their portion. And may they know that God is the God of all comfort and the God of all grace. So answer prayer and be with us. Continue with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. We are delighted to welcome our brother David back. I'm also glad to have Ashley again with us. Glad to have you both. And David, we're always glad to have you and welcome you in the Savior's name. I'm going to ask you to come and sing your first few pieces now. Thank you.
Divine, oh matchless grace, that God should die.
David, thank you sincerely for being with us this evening. We've certainly been blessed already by your ministry and song, and we'll hear from you in just a wee moment's time. But thank you for your help in the meeting tonight. Let me, at this stage, welcome you all along to our meeting. We're glad to see you tonight. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. We trust the Lord will bless you as you have joined with us tonight. And to you all, we pray the Lord's blessing upon us all this evening. And also to those who are watching online, we extend a welcome to you tonight. We want, as a congregation, to extend our sympathies to our sister, Mrs. Irene Coates, and also to Roberta and the family on the death of Irene's sister-in-law, and to Irene, and to Roberta and all the family. We extend our sympathies at this time of loss. Can I remind you of the meetings that will, in the will of the Lord, take place over the days of this week? There is the graduation commencement service of the Whitchfield College of the Bible. The college students go back to their studies tomorrow in the will of the Lord, and those who have finished, they will graduate tomorrow night. Now, that service is, because of all the restrictions, online only, and those who are attending, it is by invitation only, unfortunately. But you can watch online, and so if you tune in to the Bethany Portadown Free Church sermon audio page, then you'll be able to watch that from 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Tuesday at 7 p.m., there is the Explorers Bible Club here in the church at 7. And then also on Tuesday at 8:15, there'll be a meeting of our committee for our elders and our deacons. Also on Tuesday night, there is a special retirement service for our sister, Miss Margaret Russell, who has now retired from the mission field. And do remember that if you are free, you'll be more than welcome along to that meeting. It's in Tandragee, and that will be at 8 o'clock. Then on Thursday night, that sees the commencement of our Bible conference here in the church on Thursday night, Friday night, and next Sunday night as well. So I trust you'll come, plan to be with us for all of those meetings. The Reverend Roger Higginson is the preacher at those meetings over this conference weekend. And so we trust that you'll come and support them by your presence. Thursday night, he will look at the subject of what is revival. Friday night, 8 o'clock, he'll be looking at the subject of the people to whom revival comes. And then next Sunday night, he'll be looking at the subject of personal revival in perilous times. And so I trust you'll come and enjoy those meetings, and you'll certainly be blessed by God's servant as he preaches the word night after night. So that's this Thursday night and Friday night of this week at 8 o'clock, and next Sunday as well. Then the other meetings next Lord's Day, 10:15, the Sunday school and Bible class in the morning. 11:30 is our morning worship. Sunday school over in Hollywood at 2:30. And then, as we've said, the Bible conference will conclude next Sunday night at 6:30. The latest copy of our church magazine, The Vision, is available tonight. And those are all free of charge to everybody, so please make sure you take yours with you. And if you want to take other copies, free copies, spare copies for others, then by all means do that. But they should be on your pews. If not, there'll be some sitting out in the hallway as you leave. Do remember, we have our baptismal service on Thursday the 30th of September. That's Thursday the 30th of September in our Hillsborough Church. Please remember that, and we look forward to that meeting. Then we have our Harvest Thanksgiving services in 2 weeks' time, Sunday the 3rd of October. Is it 2 weeks' time? It is 2 weeks' time. Sunday the 3rd of October, the morning 11:30 and 6:30. In the morning time, the Reverend David Stewart from Portland Owen will be the preacher, and the Reverend Fred Greenfield will be the preacher on the Sunday evening. And then on Monday night, Monday the 4th of October, the Reverend Joshua Moffat will be the preacher. So remember those Harvest Weekend meetings, looking forward to them, and pray the Lord will bless them. As we've said, today is the day set aside for the special offering for our new church minibus. That minibus has now been put into commission and been well used already in the children's work over this past number of weeks, and the youth work as well. And so if you would like to help in relation to the cost of that, there are the little envelopes available. If not on your seat, if they're gone already in your seat, I don't know if there's any left in the hallway. There are, yeah, I'm getting the nod. So there are ones left in the hallway. If you'd like to help towards the expense of the church minibus. Total cost of just over £17,000 that the committee paid for the church minibus. And if you'd like to help in relation to that, put any money into that little envelope and put it into the boxes there as you leave tonight. Do continue to remember those who are unwell in the congregation. Pray the Lord will keep his hand upon them and strengthen them and be with them at this time. We'd also ask you to remember those in the wider church family who need our prayers. The Reverend Gary Goods has got home from hospital, and we're thankful to the Lord for that. I know his wife and family appreciate your prayers for him over what was a very difficult time. Pray that the Lord's hand will be upon him as he recovers. Also, his sister Joyce Walsh, do you remember Joyce as she recovers from her operation as well? Also ask you to remember the Reverend Malcolm Patterson, one of our ministers and our missionaries. The Reverend Patterson's dear mother passed away yesterday, and we want you to remember the family very much in your prayers. The Reverend Patterson and Allison are planning to go out to Kenya again next month, and so please do remember them at this time as well. As we said, there are no offerings being taken up during the meetings at the moment, but there are the boxes there for you as you leave. Just before Brother David comes to minister to us in song, we're going to read the scriptures at this stage, and we're going to turn to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and the chapter 21. And we'll read together the first nine verses of this chapter, 2 Samuel, chapter 21, and we'll read from verse number 1. 2 Samuel chapter 21 and the verse 1, then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul, and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you, and wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what ye shall say, that will I do for you. They answered the king, the man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up upon the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ahi, of whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all 7 together, and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 9, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. I'm going to ask David to come and sing for us again. Thank you. to you in the gospel tonight. Oh, sinner, let him in. While he is waiting, let him in. David, thank you. May the Lord bless you as you continue to work and minister for the Lord. We're turning back again to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Going to look at some of the verses in this chapter, but I want to look at especially at verse number 7 as we look this evening at the subject of the sinner spared from death. Verse number 7, it says, "But the king spared Mephibosheth." The king spared Mephibosheth. Can we just for a change of position stand together, please, just for a moment, as we pray before we come to the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us already. We thank the Lord for help given to David as he's ministered to us in song. And, O God, we pray that tonight the words that he has been singing will become, Lord, the reality in some heart tonight, we pray. O God, we pray that tonight someone in this meeting will let the Savior into their heart. O God, we cry unto Thee tonight, be merciful. Help us, we pray now, as we come to the Word of God. O Lord, we pray You'll be pleased to come, speak. Lord, far beyond the voice of this preacher, may we hear the voice of God. May the Spirit of the Lord strive. Lord, help us to preach, help us to hear. And Lord, that this night, sinners will be saved. And Lord, that they'll be spared from an awful, awful death. So come, we pray tonight. Answer prayer for us in the Savior's name we ask. Amen. Amen. No one could mistake the devastation and the ruin that had come upon the land because of the famine that had been upon the land and upon the livelihoods of the people. Because you see, for 3 years now, year after year, there was no harvest. The land brought forth no crops. The fields were barren, and the people were destitute, and they were desperate. And such is the scene that greets us at the commencement of 2 Samuel and chapter 21. You see, this was a land that was under the judgment of God for sin. And yet, as we will discover, there was a way that this judgment could be overturned and turned away, yet there had to be punishment. And that punishment was, as we will see throughout this chapter, the death of certain people, and it was that death that would appease the wrath and the judgment of God. There had to be death. Yet we read of one man who was spared from this death. One man who was guilty, but spared. And in this account tonight in 2 Samuel chapter 21, I believe we have a wonderful picture and a wonderful demonstration of how the sinner, the guilty lost sinner, is spared eternal damnation and destruction of a lost eternity. And what I want you to do tonight, keep your Bible open and let's come this evening and see how that this one man was spared from death. And as we consider this account tonight, I want you to see that if you're in this meeting without Christ, how that you can be that man too. How that you can be spared from an eternal death and a lost eternity in hell without Christ. As we think of these verses this evening, we think about this judgment that was upon the land. I want you to see, first of all, the purpose of this judgment. What we have recorded for us in 2 Samuel chapter 21 is an account of God's wrath, God's judgment for sin. God has many ways of judging, punishing a people and indeed a person for their sin. But in the context here of 2 Samuel 21, and in all other contexts, we see how that this judgment is pointing to the ultimate judgment for sin. Let me make it very clear tonight, right at the very outset of what I want to say, God still judges sin. God still punishes sin. There tonight still is wrath. And of course, what we have here in this account is pointing to that final great day of God's wrath, the day of God's judgment, when every guilty sinner who stands before Him still in their sin is cast out. The famine that was in this land was God's judgment for sin. But as we look at it, it is important to see why. What was the purpose of this judgment? Why was this land and why was this people under the wrath of God? Well, we see the purpose of it, first of all, in disobedience. Look at verse number 1. 2 Samuel 21 and verse 1, it says, "Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, 'It is for Saul and for his bloody house, or his house of blood, because he slew the Gibeonites.'" Now, while the actual events that are referred to there in verse 1 are not made mention of in any other place in these books of Samuel, yet they are made mention of in the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 9, we read of God entering into a covenant with the people of Gibeah. And there was a covenant and an arrangement made that those people would be spared. Yet whenever Saul became king, he chose in his own way, in his own wicked and sinful way, to rebel against that word, to rebel against that covenant, and to slay the Gibeonites. He slew them. We read of that. In verse number 1, he slew the Gibeonites in direct disobedience to the word of God. And we get an insight as to how he really wanted to treat them. Look in verse number 5 of 2 Samuel 21. They answered the king, "The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel." You see, Saul wanted the entire Gibeonites totally destroyed. While this was a most brutal and horrific and wicked action on the behalf of Saul, yet more than that, it was a blatant disobedience and rebellion against the Word of God. And you see, folks, tonight, whenever there's disobedience against God, whenever there's disobedience against His Word, that is sin. And it will solicit the wrath of God. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, said, "The wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience." And as such, disobedience was going to be judged. This judgment, this wrath, was there because of disobedience. Does that not take us right the whole way back to the problem of mankind? To the problem of all humanity when in the Garden of Eden our first parents disobeyed the clear command and instruction of God. And as a result of that disobedience, sin came into this world. And you know, that's where much of our problem lies tonight. Not just on a national level, but let's bring it right down to the individual level. Sinners who will disobey the clear call and command of God concerning salvation. Sinners who will disobey the command of God concerning their need to be saved and to be right with God. Sinners who think they can do it their way, live the way they want, and ignore the call of God to repent and to turn from sin, but rather want to live on in sin. And what is that but disobedience? And you see, as you live in disobedience to the command of God in relation to the gospel, you're under the wrath of God for that disobedience. The purpose of this judgment was because of disobedience on the behalf of Saul. A man who wanted to do it his way. Not only was this judgment here because of disobedience, it was also because of disregard. Do you know what Saul was doing? When he slew the Gibeonites, when he went against the word of God and against the command of God, he was having a total disregard for God. He was putting aside the word of God, and he was elevating his own thoughts and his own plans and his own intentions. You see, Saul, King Saul, wanted to live as if God didn't exist. He wanted to live as if God didn't matter. And sinner in this meeting tonight, that's exactly how you are living, with a total disregard for God. You listen to the gospel week after week. You listen to your need to be saved week after week. And you listen of how you are a sinner before God, guilty, and yet you live with total disregard for God. You live your life as if God didn't exist. God doesn't matter. I wonder how many times you've thought about Him this week. How many times did you think about your soul and your need to be saved? Or have you become hardened to the gospel? Have you become hardened to the great need of your heart? And tonight the Lord speaks to you as He had to speak to the children of Israel and said, "How long will ye refuse my commandments and my laws? How long will you disregard and disobey God? How long will you live your life in rebellion with God, without God?" Because I want to be very honest with you this evening. Every moment you live in disobedience to God and live with a disregard for God is another moment closer to a lost eternity. And every sin that you commit away from God with disregard for God and disobedience to the will of God, you are hardening your heart and you're storing up more wrath against that great day of wrath. Know that tonight you would realize the seriousness of this situation. You're under the wrath of God. The judgment of God is upon you tonight because of your disobedience, because of your disregard. Don't think you can disobey God. Don't think you can disregard God and just get away with it. Don't think you can go on your merry way and live as if God doesn't matter and it not have any consequences. God will see to it that there are. Oh, tonight realize that before God, you're away from Him, you're far from Him, you're living your life not as God wants you to live. You're living your life with total disregard for God. Oh, here you are on a Sunday night in God's house. We're glad to see you all, but come tomorrow morning, you'll live as if God doesn't exist. And from Monday through to next Sunday, you will live as if there is no God. And every moment you live hardening your heart, you store up wrath. 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 The incident that is referred to in 2 Samuel chapter 21. When Saul, in disobedience and disregard to the word of God, slew the Gibeonites, it took place many, many years before. Timing here in 2 Samuel now. Yet for all of that time, the people were storing up the day of God's wrath. They were storing up wrath. Now they were under judgment for their sin. Oh, that tonight you'd realize you cannot sin and get away with it. You cannot live as you please and think that you can just go on without God, without there being consequences. There is the purpose. in this judgment. But I want you to see, secondly, not only the purpose in this judgment, but secondly, I want you to see the plea. The plea. Because here the people are under the wrath of God, under the judgment of God, and it has now been told to David what the problem is and why they were experiencing this famine. And then look at verse 3. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? What shall I do for you? Wherewith shall I make atonement? In other words, how can this situation be remedied? How can this wrath, this judgment, this famine be turned away? Notice some things about this plea. Notice the acknowledgement in this plea. We read in verse number 1 how that David inquired of the Lord. Now for 3 years there had been this famine. For 3 years they'd been under the judgment of God, year after year, as the Scripture tells us. And it was at the end of the 3rd year that now David comes and inquires, why? And you know, it was almost as if for those 3 years people didn't care. And what was happening then was an acknowledgement of the problem. That there was a problem, a real problem. You see, in order for something to be done about this problem, there had to be honesty about the problem. And what is happening now is that there is an acknowledging of the problem. And that problem was sin. And you see, if you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to be right with God, this is where you must get to. You must realize tonight that before God, you are a sinner. You must be honest and open before God. Don't gloss over the situation. Don't pass it off. Acknowledge it. For 3 years, the problem went on acknowledged. But eventually, there was a seeking for the remedy. Oh, sinner, tonight, how long have you lived in your sin? How long have you lived refusing God? How long have you lived disobeying God? How long have you lived refusing to acknowledge, I'm a sinner, I'm a good person, I'm an upright person? Before God, you're a sinner. How long have you lived in sin without acknowledging the fact that you are a sinner? Because you can never be saved until you come to that point when you see before God that you're lost. You see, there had to be honesty here. There had to be a confession. There had to be an owning up. Things are bad. The situation is dire. And things are not going to get any better. Till you own up to the real problem of your heart. Oh, that tonight you would see, and that tonight you would seek. In this plea, there was an acknowledgement. The acknowledgement of sin. I wonder tonight, will you, for the first time in your life, maybe be honest before God and say, I am a sinner. Not only was there an acknowledgement, but there was also the atonement. Back in verse number 3, the question is asked, wherewith shall I make the atonement? You see, David realized if there was going to be a remedy, then it had to be through an atonement. David was singing about the atonement already tonight. You see, if judgment of God's wrath was going to be turned away, there had to be a dealing with that problem of sin, but it had to be by way of atonement. The word atonement itself just simply means satisfaction. God was angry with their sin. They had broken the law of God, and that is sin. That's all that sin is, breaking the law of God. I don't mean all in a flippant sense, but that's what sin is. It's a breaking of God's law. But in order for that sin and that broken law and that wrath of God to be appeased and turned away, there had to be an atonement. There had to be a satisfying of the law of God. And this satisfaction comes through the affliction of a penalty upon someone else for the benefit of others. And we'll see that now in a few moments. But there had to be an affliction of pain and penalty upon someone in order for the wrath of God to be turned away. And you see what David is doing there in verse number 3. When he says, wherewith shall I make the atonement? He is pointing us to the final, the full atonement that was paid for us, met for us at the place called Calvary. And he is bringing before us the absolute necessity of an atonement. You cannot be saved tonight your own way. You cannot be right with God tonight your own plan. He is bringing before us here the absolute necessity of an atonement. And the hymn writer said and put it well, no other hope, no other plea, it is enough. Jesus died for me. He took my place. Died for me. See, for God's wrath to be turned away, there had to be an atonement. And as we'll see, that meant bloodshed. Look at verse number 4 just for a moment. The Gibeonites, who were the offended party, they weren't going to be bought off. Verse 4 it says, and the Gibeonites said unto him, we will have no silver nor gold of Saul nor of his house. They weren't going to be bought off with money. They were going to be bought off with silver or gold. And you know, maybe tonight that's what you're trying to do to make atonement for your sin. To make it right with God. You're trying to buy off God. You're trying to buy him off with your own good living, with your own good works and your own good character. And you're offering to God all those things that you have and that you possess. But you will not be redeemed. As the Apostle Peter reminds us, you'll not be redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. The only way you can be saved is by the blood of Christ through the atoning work of Christ. There is the atonement. There is the acknowledgement. But notice as well, there is the answer then in this plea, to this plea. David made the plea. How can the atonement be made? And the answer came in verse 6. Let 7 men of his sons, that's Saul's sons, be delivered unto us. We will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul. 7. 7 men put to death. 7 in the Scriptures always speaks of completion. Always speaks of perfection. Speaks of totality. In other words, there had to be a total and final atonement. There could be no half measures. Notice what was to happen to these men. They were to be hung up. Do you know what that is? That's a symbol of the curse. Symbol of the curse. It's in the Levitical law. You read it in Deuteronomy. Cursed is every one, as Galatians tells us, that hangeth on a tree. And these men were to be put to death, symbolizing the curse, symbolizing the problem. Blood had to be shed in order to make the atonement. As we come down to verse number 9, we see that this was brought to pass. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all seven together. They were guilty. They were condemned. But here's the thing I want you to notice. These seven men weren't directly involved in the awful slaughter and the genocide of their relative Saul. But they were guilty because of their relationship with Saul. None of these seven men went out to slay those Gibeonites all those years ago because they weren't living at that time. But they were guilty because of their association with King Saul. You say tonight, why should I be put to death? Why am I a sinner tonight? I didn't do anything to the Lord. I wasn't there in the Garden of Eden when Adam chose to do his own thing, when he chose to disobey God. I wasn't there. Yes, you were. Every single one of us were there. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're all guilty tonight before a holy God because of our federal head Adam in the garden. These men were as guilty as King Saul himself, and they died guilty. I want you to notice something very important here. Because the atonement that these men made for the problem, it was unending. It was unceasing. They died guilty. And in a lost eternity, they continue to make an atonement. It was unending. It was unrelenting. You see, tonight the sinner who dies in their sin and goes out into a lost eternity, you will make atonement for your sin in your own body in hell. But that atonement will be unceasing. It will never come to a point where you've done enough or you've endured enough. You die guilty before God, lost. You'll make a continual atonement for your sin. There'll be no reprieve. There'll be no let up. Because remember, a God who is eternal demands eternal punishment. You will not go out into hell. Endure some days of pain and sorrow, and that'll be it. No. It'll be for all eternity. Oh, that tonight, sinner, you would flee from that wrath that is to come, and you would flee to the one, as we'll see in a moment, who made the perfect atonement. Once off atonement, and that was Christ. We see the purpose of this judgment, the plea in this judgment. But as we close, I want us to see now the pity. Pity in this judgment. Because in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of all this, we see God's pity, we see God's mercy. Look at verse 7. The king spared Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is also named in verse number 8. The Mephibosheth in verse number 7 is Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son. The Mephibosheth in verse number 8 is Saul's son. One was spared. Another was put to death. David spared Mephibosheth. Because in this wrath, praise God, there was mercy. In this plight, there was pity. And you know what a wonderful gospel picture there is? Because in the midst of God's wrath for our sin, for your sin, there is still mercy tonight. As we think of this pity, notice the sparing. Why was Mephibosheth spared? Why was this man, Saul's grandson, Jonathan's son, why was he spared? Look at verse 7. Because of the Lord's oath that was between them. You know the story how that when David was on the run from Saul and Jonathan and Saul made that, or Jonathan and David made that pact, that they would look after each other's house and each other's family. And it was a binding oath. It was a covenant. It was the Lord's oath. Notice that in verse 7. Speaks of a great covenant when God entered into a plan to redeem sinners from sin. We who deserve to be damned and lost, yet God entered into a way that we could be spared. This man was spared because of the Lord's covenant. And you know how the story goes on, and how that after Saul, his son, are killed in battle, take their own lives in battle. David remembers that covenant that he made with Jonathan all those years before. And it seems that all the household of Saul is wiped out, but David sends one of his servants to inquire, is there any left of Saul's house? And there was one. His name was Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. We don't have time to go into it, but back in 2 Samuel chapter 9, David wanted to show kindness to this man because he was bound by an oath so to do. You say, what's that got to do with the gospel tonight? God has entered into a binding covenant with this fallen humanity that whosoever would repent and turn to Christ shall be spared. It's not my word that will save you. It's not the church that will save you. It's the covenant of grace. It's the Christ of God. That's how he shows mercy. Very quickly, there's the sparing of this pity, but there's also the substitution, because I wanted to see that this Mephibosheth in verse number 7 who was spared, he was as guilty as the others whose lives were taken in verses 8 and 9. Verse 8. The Gibeonites didn't specify who. All they said was that let seven sons, verse 6, seven men of his sons be delivered. They didn't say who. They didn't say which seven. The Mephibosheth that was spared in verse number 7 could well have been in verse number 8 as well. But you see, one took his place. One died that Mephibosheth might live. What a glorious picture of the gospel tonight. What a glorious picture of the substitutionary work of Christ on the cross. He took my place that I might live. He died. He endured hell. He was guilty. Christ stood guilty before the judgment bar of God that I might go free. Sinner, tonight Christ died that you might live. He took your place. He paid your price. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring you to God. He endured your hell that you might never go there. He was separated from the Father that you would never be separated. Oh, tonight, see in Christ there is still mercy. Even though we have sinned and far, far from God, there is still mercy tonight. Mercy found in Christ. How can you be saved tonight? It's not coming through the doors of this church. It's not by your own good works. It's not by your own good living. It's only by Christ. And finally, there is the significance of it. Notice when this happened. It was in the days of harvest, in the first days, the beginning of barley harvest. The barley harvest, and I just leave this thought with you. The barley harvest was signified by two main feasts, the feast of the Passover and the feast of first fruits. First of all, the feast of the Passover, what was that all about? It reminded the people of the death. And the feast of the first fruits, that was when that sheaf was taken out of the harvest and waved as a sign of new life. That after death there was life. What's the picture there? That a sinner can only be saved on the basis of the death of Christ and on the resurrection of Christ. Christ died, was buried, and raised again. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. There is no other way you'll be saved. There's no other way you will find pity. There's no other way you will find mercy but founded alone on the death and resurrection of Christ. One last thing, and I promise I'm through. Verse 14. Notice the satisfaction. These men were put to death. One man was spared. Verse 14, the very end of the verse, it says, and after that, God was entreated for the lamb. In other words, the wrath of God was turned away. The atonement was made. God's wrath, his judgment, was gone. Sinner, tonight, where and how will the wrath of God for your sin be turned away? It only be by the atoning work of Christ on the cross. Praise God, tonight there is a way that you can be spared, that you can be saved. There is a way tonight that you can escape the eternal damnation for your sin. There is a way tonight you can leave this meeting with joy in your heart. It's when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Come to the foot of the cross. Come to Christ. There is no other way that you can be saved. There's no other way that you can be spared from eternal death, but by Christ. Therefore, tonight, will you come? Will you come to Christ? Because in Him and in Him alone, you will find mercy. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close, our meeting will be over in a few moments after we sing our closing hymn. I wonder tonight, are you under still the wrath of God for your sin? Or are you under the blood of Christ, having your sins covered? Tonight, can you say with assurance that I'm saved? I've been spared from the death that is mine, rightly mine, because of my sin. or are you still condemned? Oh, tonight, don't leave this meeting still in sin. Don't leave this meeting still under the wrath of God. Come to Christ, that your life might be spared and your soul will be saved. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you'll bless thy word. We ask, O God, now that the Holy Spirit will do his own work. Apply the word to hearts tonight, we pray. And bring the lost to thyself. Answer prayer. God, we pray, save. Save in this meeting tonight. Snatch some sinner out of the burning flames of hell. Do it tonight, we pray. Do it for thy glory. And do it for thine honor. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen.